in Numbers 13, now I know in Sunday school we're studying Exodus, so we're studying the beginning. I'm picking up way down the road here in Numbers 13. So we're going to see some of the same people, some of the same characters that we're going to be looking at throughout the next couple of months. But in Numbers 13, the first thought I want us to have is that they all began in their exodus from Egypt. They all began with a common goal. They all had the same mind about what they wanted. They wanted to flee the slavery of Egypt. How many of you want to be slaves in Egypt? No, so it makes perfect sense. They all wanted to leave the life that they had. And then secondly, they wanted to discover the promise of God. God had told Moses that I'm going to show you this land, and we just read it this morning, a land which floweth with milk and honey. How many of you say, that sounds pretty good? I mean, maybe you don't like milk or honey, but at least the idea of it. So, this was their common goal. They all left for the same reason, right? We established that. Secondly, I want you to understand this. No one had to go. Nobody had to leave Egypt. If you like it here, you can stay. Keep that in mind. Guys, one of the most wonderful things that we have today, and it's called freedom. It's called independence. Hey, I got news for you. If you don't like America, there are a whole bunch of options you've got. And you can get on a plane or get on a boat. Or if you love socialism so much, just make you a little boat like the Cubans do to get here. Borrow one of theirs when they get here and take it back. We have options. By the way, if you don't like Florida, you got 49 other options and stay in this country. If you don't like where you live, we have got to stop complaining about everything. By the way, I know we started off with just a little hint about the football game last night. I haven't given up hope. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to watch the Seminoles play football all year. Every game, I'm going to watch it. Now, I'm not going to go to the stadium and watch it. I'm going to watch it at the house. Guys, we have got to not invest our whole lives into a game. It is a competition. I know there's a lot of money at stake. I know there's an economy. A lot of people depend on it. I enjoy watching Seminoles play football. I don't enjoy watching sloppy football. But I watched another football game yesterday, and when somebody did right, I cheered for them. And when they messed up, I said, "Oh." And that wasn't even the game that y'all are all thinking about. So guys, we've got to stop complaining about everything. Because you could always find something to complain about. But understand this, they all left with the same goal. They all wanted to leave the same place, and they all wanted to reach the same place. And nobody had to go. They could have stayed if they wanted to stay. It's voluntary. It's 13, verse 26. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Here's what God said. God said, take 12 men, one from each tribe, send them into this land. Tell them to survey the land and tell them to come back and give a report. That was God's plan. God said, do it. 12 men went in. They stayed in that land for 40 days. They searched it out. I don't know where all they went, but I know they got a good measurement, idea of what the land of Israel, the promised land, called Canaan, was all about. For 40 days, on their way back, they saw some grapes. A cluster of grapes. Not like you could go to Walmart and pick up and carry out and put it in your... No, the cluster was so massive, they had to put it on a staff and carry it to two men. Isn't that incredible? They also gathered pomegranates, dates, everything, you know, figs. Specifically, he says figs. They gather these things and they bring them out to the people. Can you imagine the people of Israel who have, the Hebrews, God's people, the Jews, they've left Egypt. They've traveled 2 years. Didn't have to take that long to get to Kadesh Barnea, but 2 years. They've traveled, and with that whole 2 years, they've anticipated this promise God's given them. How many of you ever sit around and think about heaven? Think about how wonderful it's going to be. And when we envision, we picture our loved ones who are there. We, you know, I picture Brother Al sitting around telling stories. You know, different people, and I picture other people sitting around laughing at those stories. I picture people that are there and maybe they're seeing or they're just looking and just admiring. And I think about heaven and I think about the gold and the pearls and the different colors and the music. I think of the wonder, the laughter, all those things about heaven. Now God's described a land to them. And they're traveling to that land. And as they go, what are they thinking about? Well, I can tell you that for 2 years as they were going, they fought with each other. Complained about everything the whole time. They found something to fuss about every day. And by the way, this is the beginning of the trip. They've been through the 10 plagues in Egypt. They've crossed a dry land where the Red Sea fell down and washed out Pharaoh's army, and yet they found reason to complain and doubt God. Guys, look at where we are in our lives. If nothing else, I know with the gravity of the current situation that we're in and the numbers and the deaths and all that, then we ought to be so thankful that we're well. Hey, I'm breathing. I thank God for that. I thank God when I can breathe through my nose. Because I have a chronic sinus problem. So when I can just breathe through my nose, I don't forget to thank God for that. So if you can breathe today and you can get about today, you look around what's going on in the world, we ought to be praising Jesus. Thank God for the condition that we're in and the situation we're in, that we're able to come in here and sit down and worship God and open His Word. We ought to be thankful. But we find ways to complain, reasons to complain. And so did they. Where are we going? I don't know. Some land. Moses said, God talked to him and told him we were going to go. What's it like? Oh, they say it's a land flowing with milk and honey. They say it's a beautiful land. Oh, it's a wondrous land. And you know how people exaggerate. They probably had all kinds of stories about it. Now the spies have gone in. The spies have come out. They probably see them. Maybe even anticipated a certain day when they would be coming. And so they see these 12 men coming across the peak of a hill. And they start to gather and they start to come together and they start to get a welcoming committee and everybody's gathered. Hey, they're coming. We see them. They're coming. They're on their way. And everybody gets in there and they want to hear the report. They come carrying grapes between them on a staff. Boy, don't you know the people are excited. And they're enthusiastic and God had promised them this. And look at those grapes. And we've never seen anything like it. Remember, they were complaining about they wanted the onions from Egypt. I'll take grapes over onions any day. Man, they had to see this in the pomegranates, the probably baskets or bags full of pomegranates and figs and dates. And oh, it's wonderful. Coming. And they're so excited. And wasn't God faithful? And wasn't God true? And wasn't Moses right? Praise God, we finally get to go in. Isn't that what's happening? Verse 27, they told him and said, we came to the land where thou sentest us, and surely it floweth milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Man, I don't know about y'all. I get excited about that. Isn't that wonderful? Man, this is what we've been working for. This is what we've been looking forward to. Hallelujah. Shouting and just praise God. Isn't that great? Y'all done read ahead, didn't you? Guys, isn't this the world you want to live in? Isn't that the excitement that you want to live in? That is exactly what God said. And everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And what a life we've got. Thank God we got out of that slavery. We left Egypt and we've come here. And God, you're so good to us. And then, verse 28. Somebody said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They see all this and they're so excited, and then somebody says, but it's not without its challenges. How many of you have ever known anything worthwhile that didn't have some challenges to it? I mean, we look at everybody's life on Facebook and it's perfect. And then all of a sudden they're divorced. What happened? All of a sudden, something's wrong. But on Facebook it was perfect. And what they show, and everything's fine. And there's no problems. Guys, I'm not saying we got to come in here and whine about our lives. But let's be real. Everybody's got challenges. Everybody's got obstacles in their life. And if you've got a worthy goal, there are going to be some obstacles. And so in this verse, when he steps up and he says, but hang on, there's some big giants there. They're everywhere. They're in the mountains. They're by the sea. They're in the valley. They've got big walled cities. Oh, he says, it's not a vacant land. Okay. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And he said, let us go up at once and possess. Hallelujah. I like this guy, don't you? Let's go get it. Let's go. Hey, I've always wanted a walled city. Praise God, they're already built. Man, you know one thing I've always been concerned about is getting to the promised land and the beds being too short. But the giants sleep there, so it'll be a big bed. It'll be all right. Man, just look at it the right way. Is that their attitude? Caleb said, let's go get it at once. Look at what he says there. And possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Get this verse in your heart and in your mind. We are well able to overcome it. I know the challenge is great. I know the challenge is not brief. I know it's going to take a while. But I want you to know something. You've survived every day so far. Let's not quit. Let's not give up. Let's not get discouraged. Let's not build this mountain in front of us in our minds. Yes, there are obstacles. Yes, there are challenges. But we're well able to overcome it by God's help. We're able to smile and laugh and sing and dance all the way, skipping all the way. I like Caleb, but he wasn't by himself, was he? Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. And they brought an evil report of the land which they searched, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So are we in their sight. He's defeated. Hey, I've got a note in my notes. Don't be this guy. Again, there are challenges. There are obstacles. Let's not pretend that it's all going to be smooth sailing. Let's not pretend that it's going to be easy. Because it's not. But let's face the reality with the right attitude. Because attitude makes such a difference. I think of a story Zig Ziglar used to tell about two guys that were stranded on an island, and one of them had a pain in his side. And he says, oh my goodness, he says, I've read about that, I've studied about that, and right where that is, that's your appendix, and you've probably got an infected appendix that's probably going to rupture, and if it ruptures, you're going to die, so let me go get my knife and I'll cut it out. Save your life. Isn't that a better attitude than just looking at him and saying, it's going to rupture and you're going to die? Wish there was something I could do. The point is, you may not be able to meet the task at hand, but if you have the right attitude, you can face the task. And Caleb said, we're able to overcome it. Let's not give up and curl up and quit. Let's face the challenge with enthusiasm and faith and confidence and trusting God. I want you to know something. There is 100% fatality rate so far of all the people that ever lived except Jesus. And they killed him and he rose from the grave. And Enoch. Lazarus died. He rose from the grave, but he died first and he died again. Guys, we are all going to die. 100% surety of that unless the Lord comes back. But let's try living instead of just avoiding death. Let's try thriving and getting the most out of life and doing the most with what we've got left. These people got so discouraged. First of all, let me establish it this way and say God told them they could have it. God showed them what was in it. And God expected them to accept it. They had an excuse. By the way, all those people in the congregation hadn't even been in there. They had one guy saying it's going to be great and one guy saying it's going to be terrible. But either way, they all left with the same goal, and that was to get in and get into what God had promised. Don't you want that? Why are we hovering between what we left and what God promised? You see, I'm not talking about heaven. The promised land does not represent heaven. The leadership. The people were completely discouraged, devastated. In chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, they said, I tell you what, let's find somebody to take us back to Egypt. Let's find somebody to take us back. That's verse 4. People got saved, they got baptized, they got in church, they started reading their Bible, and then they got bored. Because they didn't stay involved, and they didn't stay active, and they didn't find ministry, and nobody gave them a job to do, and they got bored. And you know what they did? They went back. They went back to Egypt. And now they're in slavery. And now they're in bondage. And that's what they left, but then they returned to it. Because it was familiar. Please don't do that. Please don't go back. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. They started to pray. Verse 6, Joshua stepped up. He rent his clothes, he and Caleb both. Verse number 7, they spake to the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Guys, this is what we came for. This is what we signed up for. I mean, why did you get saved? People get saved and then they don't want to leave behind what they left. They were supposed to leave. I mean, didn't you get saved for a new life? Didn't you get born again for a new life? Didn't you put your faith in God for a new life? A new energy, a new enthusiasm, a new breath, a new understanding, a new enlightenment? Read your Bible. Pray and live. a righteous life, a holy life, a sanctified, set apart, purposed. Don't keep going back. Don't go back. Because I promise you, if you go back, you're going to be a slave again. You're going to be in bondage again. You're going to be crying again. You're going to be miserable again. And then you're going to say, but I'm saved. Why am I so miserable? Because you're in Egypt. Why did you go back to Egypt? You were at Kadesh. Kadesh is flush. Man, where they were staying, where they were camped out on the edge of the promised land was a beautiful place. And then thinking about what was in store, man, this was just a taste of what was ahead. Defeat swept through the camp. It's 2-10. Caleb say, God said we can have it, and it's wonderful, and it's worth it. Let's go. And the other 10 saying, we're going to get destroyed. Why did Moses bring us out here so we'd die here? He must be working for the king, and the king just wanted us dead in the desert instead of dead in Egypt. They started to stone the only two people who had their interest. The only two people who wanted what was best for them, they wanted to kill them. They wanted to stone the truth tellers. Modern times, isn't it? We cannot allow some loudmouth doubters to discourage us from seeing what God has promised us. Why do we listen to it? Why do we listen to the haters and the complainers and the critics? Why do we listen to them? Well, you say there's 10 of them. Unfortunately, that's true. Unfortunately, the majority of the information we're getting is the negative information. Let's listen to the 2. Let's listen to the 20%. Let's listen to the hopeful. Let's listen to the encouragers. Let's listen to those who believe what God has promised. What God has said. We'll rob ourselves and our children of the blessings that God has promised us if we listen to the doubters. Yes, it's risky. Yes, it's unseen. Yes, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what my life has tomorrow. How many of us can think of a day, just one day or one moment, where everything changed? I don't know what tomorrow has. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to hold on to God. And I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I didn't like it there. That's why I left there and came here. Let's put our eyes on the Lord. And let's filter out the negative, discouraging news that everybody wants to tell us. I'm not saying deny the truth. Not saying deny the facts. Just saying let's put it in light of truth instead of putting it in light of fear. Why did they not want to go in? Because they made them afraid. And their fear overwhelmed their expectation for what God had promised. God said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. What'd they find? A land flowing with milk and honey. Just like God said. But they said it's going to be too hard because there's giants. There's walled cities, their defense. He said, look, we were intimidated. We looked like grasshoppers to ourselves. They were so big. And they allowed that fear to erase all of their hope. Wow. Guys, let's get our hope back. Let's find our joy again. And let's remember what God's promised us and let's remain true to Him. Let's think. Father, we're thankful for Jesus. God, we think about heaven and we think about Jesus sins away. We're so thankful that we were able to leave Egypt. We were able to leave the past. That sin in our lives, that bondage to worldliness and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, where we left that when our sins were washed away and we found Christ. So God, right now, we pray that you'll forgive our sins. jewel. Fill us with your spirit, with your anointing, with your calling. Fill us with your hope. Show us now your will for our lives. And for God, ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray, or maybe just where you are. You want to say, God, I've been discouraged. I've been afraid. And I realize there are dangers and risks and challenges and obstacles. But God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be faithful to you. Not what some preacher says, not what some church says, what God's word says, what God's spirit says. I'm going to serve you. This is your opportunity. Make a commitment today that I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be the one shooting down all the hope that is around me. Discouraging hope. And I'm going to be a blessing and build people up. Is that your prayer? Came this morning. Hope you'll be back tonight. We're going to ordain our deacons, Brother Andy and Brother Henry, and hope you'll come and be a part of that this evening, okay? Anything before we're dismissed? All right. All hearts and minds are clear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would. Brother Harry, would you dismiss us?